Sunday the 19th of March 2023, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Towards the Cross. Sermon title, He Will Come Again, Living Between the Times. Bible reading, Matthew chapter 24, verses 35 to 51. Talk by Reverend Kate Scheinman.
The Bible reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 24, verses 35 to 51. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, "My master is staying away a long time," and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord.
Let me just pray for us. Thank you. Thank you, Father, that you are the life giver, the life changer, the rescuer, the Prince of Peace, the beginning and the end. Lord, come with your Holy Spirit and fill our hearts with hope through the power and wonder of your word. Speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to those who are coming as visitors today on this wonderful day of Mothering Sunday. You are very, very welcome here, and I hope there'll be something for you in this story and something that will make you curious and something that will allow you to step into more of who this Jesus is. So we continue in Matthew's Gospel. Last week we heard about the wonderful banquet, the story of the banquet that all are invited, that the Father's arms are open wide, forgiveness is bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Sounds like a song. That's because it is those words. But anyway, that's what we're saying. Today we're talking about Jesus coming again. And I'm adding to that words, living between the times. So he's coming again, but we're living between the times. And such a time is this. And this parable, is sayings and parables how the end times will look and God's kingdom coming. 3 points that stood out to me as I was preparing. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Keeping watch and being ready and being a wise and faithful servant. Let's have a look. Decades have come and gone, wars come and go, seasons of this and that come and go, the economy rises and falls, it comes and goes, politicians come and go, the church struggles, fashionable missions and new ideas, they come and go, loving families comes and goes, communities come and go, There are some obvious things that don't come and go, and those things are poverty, injustice, and oppression. But we have a God, who you'll learn more about, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has a heart for the poor, for justice, and for the oppressed. Today's Bible reading, the opening line, which wasn't on the screen, but I haven't missed it out. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. I'll put this in context. This verse comes through chapter 24, about halfway through. Just before that, Jesus has been talking to his disciples about the destruction of the temple and the signs of the end of time. He's had a bit of a rant at the religious leaders. They're called the Pharisees, and he's naming them as hypocrites. And he says, "Woe to you! Woe to you!" He's saying, he's bellowing at them for shutting the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, serving money instead of God, and neglecting justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Jesus' boldness with them is really extreme and radical. Some might even say it's damning. But in a nutshell, Jesus says, there will be times when the church will be against each other, nation against nation, family against family. People will hate each other and do wicked things to each other. People will deceive you and you'll start believing their lies and you'll start living in their lies. The earth physically will crack and break and move, earths and storms and earthquakes and droughts and famines. And well, it's actually still happening in our times. In fact, it seems to be on the up. And we sometimes live watching our back, distrusting the government with empty promises and their supposed empty pockets. Sometimes we withhold our love and loyalty to one another in case we'll get disappointed of the outcome. Sometimes we find it hard to let go and let God be the leader of the storms. And we cling to the stuff which we know will just disappear, that will spoil and fade. Because we can't take any of that with us at the end of our lives. James says in the book of James, chapter 4, "For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And those are the things of God and his promise. So Jesus is carrying on. He's telling his disciples when the Son of Man will come again. Now, the angels don't know when that will happen. The Son of Man don't know when that will happen. Only the Father will know. And then finally, he will initiate beauty, redemption, reconciliation into the chaos. The signs of his coming have been prophesied by the prophet Daniel, just one of many. He says, "Nations will gather people from the corners of the earth and build into a new kingdom, to a new people of new hope through a savior." The Savior will once again reveal his power and glory, the power of love for the salvation of his creation and his beloved children. But it might not be a tidy affair. When heaven and earth pass away, and if you can even imagine that in your mind, his words, he says, will never pass away. His words of hope, of promise to stay with us and not abandon us, the gift of his Spirit, his unconditional love, forgiveness of sin, his peace surpassing all understanding, the cross, the resurrection, the reminder that from death comes life. And in this life, when we dwell in him, we can live and walk in that newness of life. We say that together in the creed, which our beliefs that we will live in the newness of life through Jesus Christ. But how can we hope and trust and be expectant when we don't know really how between now and then the future will look? And when we read this text in the Bible here, it really looks very bleak and very surreal. But Jesus will come again, and the ways of the world will be shaken up, and the dregs will be sifted away, and a brand new kingdom will arise. We could be in the midst of that reshuffling. Will we be ready? Will we be afraid? Will we look for the signs? How do we live between those times? I just love the image of the old-fashioned lighthouse keeper before they're all automated. They were on duty for 6 weeks on end, and then they had 2 weeks break. If there were storms, they were there for months on end. Now, they were there, waiting. They were there. They were ready, looking for the signs, the storms, looking at the ships. They were navigating, all sorts of things. They were doing that. They were vigilant. They were dedicated. They had to look after themselves and yet have an eye on what was going on out there. It was of the utmost importance, so there wouldn't be any danger or that they could warn that off. It's a lesson we can admire and look to as we think about what it means to be watchful, to be on guard, to be alert. So being watchful, keeping watchful and being ready. James continues to say, why you don't even know what will happen tomorrow? Jesus says, why are you worrying about tomorrow? Because actually today there's a lot of stuff going on anyway. Because some people live in the moment. They can just live for today. And other people are permanently looking ahead. When will it happen? How will it look? Will I get there? Will I have enough money? What about my children, my grandchildren? What about my friends? Will my relationships heal? Will I get well again? And we just have to wait and ride those things out, living in that tension. It's not always easy. Because we sometimes want it now. We want to know now. So how good are you at waiting? Waiting for the kettle to boil when you never watch the kettle, they say, don't they? Waiting for the kettle to boil for a nice cup of tea. Waiting for the cake to arise from the oven when you've got a friend coming over. You keep opening and looking it up. Not like those beautiful cakes at the back there. They're all highly risen. But my cake would be like flat because I'm keep opening the door. Anyway, how good are you waiting for your children to come home from school, from college, from university? What about if a member of your family comes home late from work and the clock's ticking? And you're looking at the clock, you think, where are they? Are they okay? Are they okay? Are they okay? Are they okay? There's the key in the door. What do we do at that point? Do we just give up and just say, oh, it'll be all right? Or are we absolutely frantic and anxious? Living between the times, what does that mean for the community of believers? But what does it mean generally for people to live in the then, the now, and the to come? Where are you in that tension? Are you a people who just fall into a state, I'm not that enthusiastic, I don't really care, that doesn't affect my day-to-day life as a Christian? Or are you one of the people who are focused on the final things, and you're full of fear and anxiety, and you're trying to live this really good life for God? What's your thinking around that? I'm not sure whether either of these positions is very, very helpful. It's not really so good to be so complacent when Jesus comes again, and it's probably not that good to be totally riddled with fear of what's to become of us, and that we might be feeling that we're not good enough and we might be condemned. But how do we learn something from the actions of Jesus in today's story? We've got the thief who comes into the house when the owner's away, has a good look in there, chucks everything about, the whole place is ransacked. I suppose spiritual and prayer watching is not the same as maybe a security guard looking at CCTV cameras or an astronomer looking at the stars. It's not the same kind of watching. What about the other story, though, of the master who leaves his whole house to the servant, goes away, and the servant, you know, is meant to prepare and prepare the food and keep everything safe? That would be ideal, wouldn't it? But what about when the servant actually ransacks the place and trashes it all and goes AWOL and, you know, all of that? What about that? And then he beats up all the other servants. What about that before the master comes home? What do these little parables in this story tell us about our loyalty to God? How holy we are in character? Or do they reveal something more of us sometimes when we're a bit sluggish, our faith is a bit thin, and we lose sight of what it could be when revival comes, when Jesus comes again? How prepared are we? How willing are we to get closer to God and to be transformed in his likeness and have a steadfastness and a hope in what's to come? But what do you think God is like? What do you think God is like? It's an obvious question, but we don't often ask ourselves, what is God like? All loving and forgiving and full of grace, threatening maybe, or condemning, aloof even? Maybe your experiences are different in your walk with God. And you've seen all of those things. But we know that the things that we hold on to in this life are only temporary. But having a relationship with Jesus and his word and knowing his words will anchor us and remain in us through the storms. This love will last. This God will last. He stays, and he's not taking anything away from us. So how do we be these kind of wise and faithful servants? I know a lot of you are, probably all of you are, got some great wisdom there, godly wisdom. You've walked along the Lord at many, many years of your life, and you've probably got the most amazing stories. But isn't it easy sometimes in that walk with the cross on your back to get bogged down by all the catastrophic things that are going on in our daily news feed, social media and newspapers? But hope must be the antidote to all of that. That is the hope of Jesus Christ, who was and is to come. Do we need to know the exact time of his coming? Or what it will look like in the new revival? Because even Jesus, the Son, didn't know when the end will come. But this is what we do know right now on this day, that Jesus, the gospel, is real and he sustains us. He is good news. The certainty that the author and perfecter of our faith went to the cross, bearing the fullness of darkness and evil and suffering. For 3 days, he literally went to hell and back, separated from his father, abandoned, alienated, lonely, and in pain. God raised him in power that nothing could hold him down. Writer Michael Green says, "Christian hopes ride high because the grave was not able to hold down the author of life." Amen? Jesus did this out of love. Agape love, that real love, the highest type of unconditional love that Jesus has for us, his human beings. How does he show this love to you? Perhaps you're a visitor here today, or you haven't been for a while. You're really welcome. But if you want to know more about the Christian faith, about Jesus, have a chat with some of us afterwards, or come to some of our services in Holy Week to find out a little bit more. But what about this fear and doom of all the end times? And you know, it doesn't always help that we've not done a very good job of stewarding God's beautiful creation. But how long should we wait for this renewal, for when things are made new, when Jesus comes again? But we do know that God holds all things together, those who love him and are called to his purposes. And that he who began a work in us will carry on to completion until Jesus comes again. That's a relief, isn't it? That he's continuing to work. We can keep on laboring. It's not in vain. He takes our stuff and he does mighty things. I might want to share a very quick story of hope of a man this week that I met. He came up to me and with an urgency, he said, "I want to tell you my story." And I said, "Of course." And when he was 19 years old, he was addicted to alcohol. There's lots of physical fighting in his family, lots of things that are not good for a young person. One day he's flicking through the TV screen in his kind of stupor, and he comes across the God TV. Here's the gospel, here's the message of Jesus Christ, and says a prayer right there in his living room. I come to you, Lord, and rescue me and save me and let me have this new life. God also healed him at that point of the pain in his shoulder. So this is amazing that you meet people who are willing to tell their stories. This is a story of hope. He chose hope rather than fear. And I wonder if you've got a story of hope like that. And why don't you have a go this week of telling your story of hope to someone? Sharpen their faith, lift them up, empower them, encourage them with your story of hope. You've all got amazing lives. Don't think your story is not lesser than anybody else's. It's your story with Christ. So a couple of things to reflect on as we go forward in this journey of Lent, as we worship and as we pray and as we rest in God. I'm asking these questions to myself a lot. First one, am I living the way of Christ? So what can I do? I want to choose hope rather than fear. Maybe you'll join me in that. 2, am I trusting in him alone? Where am I looking? Where am I looking? I'm going to try and seek him. So why don't you seek him first? 3, am I disturbed by this kind of in-between times? I encourage you to watch and know that God is in control. He's the creator. He's the master builder. He gives abundant life. And lastly, he will return. So trust and watch for the signs. In the waiting, pray and worship. Know how much he loves you. His peace is for you. Receive his joy. Enjoy God and love others. Let me just finish in prayer. Jesus, like a mother, you gather your people to you. You're gentle as a mother to her children. Despair turns to hope through your sweet goodness. Through your gentleness, we find comfort in fear. Your warmth brings life from death. Your touch makes sinners righteous. Lord Jesus, in your mercy, heal us. In your love and tenderness, remake us. In your compassion, bring grace and forgiveness. For the beauty of heaven, may your love prepare us. Amen.